As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. As we continue in on our stewardship campaign for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be reading from Matthew 6, verse 24, one verse. Can you believe it? Super quick. Just got to find it. All right. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." That's it. Amen. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So grateful for your prayers. You can see in the bulletin, I got to ring the bell this week. So we're grateful for that. Grateful for our staff and folks who were able to kind of be there with me as I embarked on that endeavor this week. So this morning's scripture, one verse, there's kind of other gospel readings that kind of, you know, reference it or kind of go with it, but serving two masters can get complicated. So I read the verse from Matthew 6, 24. In Mark 3, 24, it says, "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." Jesus was talking about the certainty that a heart, if divided, a life, if divided between multiple things, would suffer greatly and would not be able to stand. And so I ask, what are the divisions in our hearts that affect us today? What are the divisions in our heart that affect us today? To serve more than one master, Jesus says, is something that cannot be done. You can end up hating the one and loving the other. Jesus warns us because he knows the sure destruction in serving multiple masters. But he also knows the power found in serving just one master. One way I see this scripture is that it's hard to please everyone. One of the reasons we have multiple masters is that maybe we say yes too much to one thing or not enough to the other, or it's hard to say no because we don't want to disappoint others. But if we allow our fear of disappointing others and our fear of criticism to control us, we will struggle to provide any kind of great ministry or leadership. Because what we do will always disappoint someone. Over the last 10 months, kind of going through my journey, probably for the first time in ministry, you know, I said no to things. I said no. Not going to do it. I'm not going to travel there. I'm not going to belong to this board or whatever it may be. And now as I've kind of come out of this chemo journey, I'm trying to figure out what to say yes to again. And it's hard because there's so many things. And God's calling us to a single devotion to Jesus. You know, we like to be liked and accepted, and it's painful when we feel that we've let someone down. But discernment starts by slowing down enough to realize how many things we are devoting our lives to. A few years ago, I did a short little study at campus ministry at a campus down in the valley based on a book, Not a Fan. It was called Not a Fan. And Not a Fan was a pretty challenging book for the students, because it helps us identify where we're falling short in our Christian walk to move us to become more committed followers of Jesus. And the author, Kyle Edelman, said he noticed something wrong with the statistics, that's the word I'm looking for, that we were reported by the surveys, statistics and surveys, two S words. He begins by noting that according to a recent survey that approximately 75% of Americans claim to be Christians. I'm not sure That was a couple of years ago. I'm not sure what the statistic is today. But he said if the population of the United States is about 311 million and 75% of the folks claim to be are Christians, that brings the number to about 233 million people. That's a lot of Christians. He said in his estimation, something has to be off because if there were that many Christians, 233 million, why would 35 million people in America go to bed hungry each night? Why would, including 13 million children? He said if 75% of Americans are Christians, then why are there more than 120,000 children waiting to be adopted? He said if the numbers just don't add up. And he tried to figure out why. And he says that he read an article that there's these new vegetarians that don't eat meat most of the time. One of them explained that she was a vegetarian, but she really likes bacon. And she ate it. A vegetarian, by definition, is someone who doesn't eat meat. But bacon's a meat. And so, trying to figure out that notion. Then he adds that the discrepancy was solved by coming up with a new term to describe vegetarians who aren't committed to abstaining from meat, and they're now called flexitarians. A Christian, Edelman says, by definition is a follower of Christ. So I'm thinking that what might make sense of the 233 million number is a new word to help identify them as Christians, but have little interest in actually following the teachings of Jesus. Perhaps they're not instead followers, but fans. The fan is an enthusiastic admirer. Maybe something that we enjoy watching, being a part of, and enjoy the benefits of, but maybe not committed to. No strings attached kind of relationship with Jesus. So a fan says, I like Jesus, but don't ask me to help serve the poor. I like Jesus, but I'm not gonna give to those who are in need. And I like Jesus, but don't ask me to forgive the person who hurt me. I like Jesus, but don't ask me to give up bacon. Friends, the work of the church is so important. Our ministry to children, singing, teaching, our ministry to young adults, our ministry to adults and senior adults is so vital for the kingdom of God. And the church is the place where disciples grow. They're equipped for the work in the world. Serving two masters reminds us that none of us can avoid letting others down. And that suffering criticism and rejection doesn't necessarily mean maybe we've taken a wrong turn. It's where grace comes in. Jesus spent most of his life with ordinary people. He ate with them, he healed them, he taught them, he showed God's mercy and love each and every day. He did this before they had even done anything else for him. Paul Tillich, in a sermon, You Are Accepted, said, grace strikes us when our disgust in our own being, our indifference, our weakness, our hostility, and our lack of direction and composure have become intolerable to us. It strikes us when, year after year, the longed-for perfection of life does not appear. When the compulsions reign within us, and as they have for decades, when despair destroys all joy and courage. And sometimes at that moment, he continues, a wave of light breaks into the darkness, and it is as though a voice was saying, you are accepted. You are accepted. Accepted by that which is greater than you and by the name of which you do not know. Do not ask me for the name now. Perhaps you will find it later, he says. Do not try to do anything now. Perhaps later you will do much. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you are accepted. And if that happens, then you will experience grace. Our gods tell us that security is found in protecting everything we have. But God tells us that security is found in being willing to give up everything. For you see, when we can break loose of our need to feel as though we must please everyone in order to know love, we can truly live. We can truly love. Not pretending to love so that we might receive love, but serving out of an abundance of love. Feeling loving without expecting anything in return. Friends, if we try to please everyone, we'll fail. It's impossible to please everyone. However, if you're offering the love of Jesus to anyone and everyone, and allow Christ to work, to do the work of others that only he can do, then we'll truly know Christ's love. Jesus' offer that we read in the scripture remains true even today. And we know from those who have stayed with him, those whom have been the bread of life to others, those who have found the kind of life that Christ offers to those who believe, then it's been said that you have served one master, not two. May we be a people of God who discerns those things that come our way each and every day. Every single day. And may we know the love that Christ offers to us in spite of all of those things. And may we have life that is truly life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word for us for today. A short little one scripture sermon, Lord, but it carries so much for our lives. It influences our lives that we might live life that is truly life in spite of all the different masters and gods that vie for our attention each and every day. And so, Lord, may we discern the ways in which we can serve you above all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.